Thank you, Brother Nick. If you have your Bibles, please turn to, let's go ahead and do John chapter 1. We have a couple here, but we'll try John chapter 1. I want to thank the Lord for our church. And again, I mentioned this on Sunday. I want to say Sunday, the church is not a building. The church is its people. And I believe we have the greatest people in the world. Our people are committed, and thank you for that. Our church pretty much is known throughout America here in our independent Baptist circles, and it's because of your faithfulness. I want to thank you for standing behind our pastor and standing behind Brother Myers as he is leading at this time. Right after the service here, we're going to take a special offering for those two men, and I want to encourage you to do your best to be kind to them. Of course, this is going to be above your tithes and offerings. But be a blessing to them as they are a blessing to us. I would not want to be in Brother Meyer's shoes. That's a lot of work. Don't think, oh man, he has more privileges. No, you got to remember, he's still doing whatever he used to do. He did everything he used to do Plus, he's bearing the burden of our church during this time in our pastor's absence. Do continue to pray for our pastor and pray for him, Brother Myers and his family. I know Brother Myers has been working longer hours and spending more time in prayer and everything like that. He's not as accessible as he used to be. When he was, before he was put into this position, I used to call him and ask him stuff all the time. Now, got to kind of like set an appointment and everything. Like, wow. And by the way, church, do not be afraid to go talk to Brother Myers. You need counsel, you need something with your family, go to him. And he is one of the wisest men that I know. Probably, earthly speaking, the two men that's helped me more than anybody, earthly speaking, would be our pastor, and secondly, would be Brother Myers. And I want to thank God for the Myers family. If you can, as they come back, make sure you let them know you miss them, and shake their hand with a gift card and say, leave again. It was great. We ended church early. Having said that, I will end early today. So you get to go home and go watch I Love Lucy. I don't know if that's still on. Mrs. Esposito, does Brother Esposito still like to watch The Twilight Zone? Does he? Those are awesome. So John chapter 1, I've been the youth pastor at our church for about 15 years, full-time, part-time, and full-time, almost 20 years, and I love working with teenagers, and I thank God for our teenagers. Pastor always says this, we have three types of teenagers, and I love that pastor always speaks about the home, because as a young adult, somebody like Anthony's age and somebody that was like Mark and Eric's age, I grew up listening to sermons on the home. And you don't understand, young people, how much that helped me when I got married and had children. Yep. And have children. You might sit here and when a preacher's preaching on the home, you might think, oh, okay, that's for the old folk. No, really, it's for you. Right. And it helps you out. Yep. And I hope you pay attention. Single people, pay attention. As, you know, if somebody's speaking about the home and marriage, because guess what? You don't understand this, young people. You will get married sooner than you think. You will have children. Just the other day, I've been married for 14 years, and it's passed like this. And I remember sitting there, I'm thinking, I'm never going to get married because the rapture's going to come. I remember 1991, they said, the Lord's going to come. I stayed up all night. I said, I'm not going to get married. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, the Lord didn't come back, but, you know, praise the Lord, I got married. And so you might be thinking, man, I'm going to be single to the rapture. No, you know, God might come tomorrow, but you want to prepare for marriage, okay? So, and to prepare to have children. You know, the second generation is important. You young people, listen to me. You are the next generation. Brother Montgomery is going to go. I mean, I'm seriously saying he doesn't have a long, I mean, I don't hope that he kicks the can tomorrow, but, and he's a healthy man. But I've seen preachers that have gone. Yep. All the old preachers that I grew up listening to, they're in heaven with the Lord. Yep. Yeah. When I used to go to youth conferences, there were older men that ran it. And now the people that I used to go to youth conference with all over the country, they are running the youth conferences. So we'll get older, and it'll be there. John chapter 1, verse 12. John 1 and verse 12. I love this verse. The Bible says, but as many as received them, to them, the people that received him, gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into his hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This is in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Let's pray. Father, we pray, Lord, you bless these next 20 or so minutes we have together. Help us to get some things ingrained in our hearts, Lord, to help our families, to help our teenagers, to be the parent that you want us to be, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Did we get handouts yet? We got handouts? Okay. You know, when you trusted Jesus Christ, as we just read, as your Savior, you become a part of God's family. You chose him and he chose you, and you in that relationship is forever. Once saved, always saved. You cannot do anything to earn salvation. Please look up here. And you can do nothing to lose that salvation that you have received from God. Birth is final. On the day that you became God's child, he became your perfect, awesome, loving Heavenly Father. Amen. He becomes your spiritual dad. I grew up in my dad passed away when I believe I was about 3 months or 6 months old, and I did not have a dad, and I thank God for men in my life that helped me, and I thank God for when I came to Long Beach, Pastor kind of adopted me in a way where I looked up to him as a spiritual father here on this earth, and he helped me, and he helped rebuke me, and helped mold me, and he helped encourage me, and I thank God for that. But your Heavenly Father, once you're saved, that's sealed. I don't know what kind of family you grew up in. I don't know what kind of model that you've seen growing up. But I know this, that if you know Jesus Christ, he's your Heavenly Father. And he's the perfect dad that you can have. That's why in Galatians, the Bible says, and we just read, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The word Abba there means daddy. It is a close-knit relationship between you and the Father. He's perfect in every way, talking about our Heavenly Father. He's ready to help us grow into his likeness and as to the parents that we ought to become. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, what kind of kid are you to your Heavenly Father? How is your relationship with your Heavenly Father? Are you living under his authority? Are you honoring your Heavenly Father? Are you living in close fellowship with him and seeking to obey his every word in your life? By the way, this is the very foundation of biblical parenting. Today I'm speaking about parenting patterns. How to be, as a Christian, a biblical parent. How to raise your child up in the way they should go. And by the way, parents, let me say this. You do it biblically, and how your kids turn out, that's between them and God. But you live right, and you apply God's principles in your heart, and you love God, and you love your children, and you raise them up right. By the way, as a parent, I want my children to raise grow up and love God. Amen. I didn't say I wanted my son to be a preacher, though that's my heart desire, but I want him to find God's perfect will in his life. I want my daughters, if possible, to marry somebody in the ministry. But more important than that, I want them in God's will for their life. And I want them to seek God and love God with all their hearts. Amen. But being a earthly, if you will, parent to them is the same as being a child to our Heavenly Father. Somebody said this, what you do is what you get. There's one principle that's very important, and our kids know this. How you live speaks louder and longer than what you say. Yep, by the way, you can trick and you can manipulate parents when your children are small. But there's a time in their life that light bulb's going to go off, and they're going to know. Is this thing real to mom and dad? Your model outweighs your mouth. Big time. Yes, sir. How are you modeling Christ's likeness in your life to your children? Let me say this, children. Don't nudge your parents. Trying to do the best they can. And God wants you, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Amen. And if your parents have flaws, that doesn't excuse you from serving God. Yep. I grew up without a dad. And I thank God that there's people in my life that helped mentor me and get me to where I am. But you don't understand, my parents, you can still make it for God. But let me say this, parents. How's your relationship with the Lord, and how are you a child to him? How you respond to your Heavenly Father comes right back at how your kids will respond to you. The Bible says in Galatians 6:7 is a familiar verse, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. Please look up here. Right. What you do and what you say and how you live, your kids are going to mimic and imitate. Right. Now I realize children are commanded to obey their parents. Ephesians 6:1, we just quoted. Regardless of how parents their spiritual state is, but parents, you ought to try and strive to live right. I've been the youth pastor here for a long time, and God's given me that the privilege, and pastor has entrusted me to be with the children here in our church. And I see three types of children in our church. And in the ministry here that I've been the youth pastor part-time and full-time for about 20 years, kids are really good, godly kids, kids that are okay kids, and kids that are rotten. Brother Gray was sitting over there. He said, man, you got a good group this year. I said, praise the Lord. There's some years that I want to resign as a youth pastor. See, the great kids, the kids that are on board, man, I mean, cream of the crop. Here's what I've noticed, and here's what people that are that work with teenagers as much as I do notice. They come from parents that are on fire for God. Not perfect parents, but parents that are on board. Parents that, man, you know, they support biblically what the Bible says. There's no compromise. I mean, they're not perfect, but they're on the ball. There's good kids. They struggle a little bit, but they're good kids. Those are the kids that we call our bus ministry kids. Their parents are not saved. They didn't care less if they come to church. It's a free babysitting service for them. And they have to claw and hold on and man, you know, sell candy and do all this stuff just to stay in the Christian school, just to stay. And, you know, they're home and they're persecuted, if you will, for Christ. And those are the good kids, man. They try to serve the Lord in their best. And I thank God we don't have this in our church here, but we have kids that, man, we struggle. They struggle spiritually. They buck the rules. Those kids usually come from parents that they buck God's rules. I thank God we have good people in our and good parents in our church that are on the ball for the Lord. Amen. When your children are young, they obey because you say so. Go do this. Hey, Noah, go to sleep. What? Why? Because I said so. Yeah. That's just how it is. Now, when the kid is older, Mark, go to sleep. Why? Because I said so. I mean, he's going to go to sleep. He's a good kid. But you've got to explain some things to them. They use this up here. They watch. Yeah. They question. Yep. They analyze things. For teens, what you do is king. What you say is only a matter if your life backs it up. Here's how they think. Don't tell me. Show me. Yep. Don't demand it. Please display it. Don't push me. Lead me. There's a state in the history of your child's life where you cannot push them to do things anymore. As a parent, you got to lead them in the way they should go. You can't force him. When they're older, to serve God. Now, when they're in your house, you can make them do stuff, but that only goes so long. As soon as they're 18, they're out of there. And that's why it's so important. The Bible says, "Give my son, give me thine heart." But what's the second part of that verse? And let thy eyes observe my way. What you do is what you get. This shifts in thinking during the early teen years. From before, when they were children, they're like, okay, I'll do what you say, and then their parents are like, man, this guy thinks now. He's talking back to me? You know how it is. I have a seventh grader in my house now. Sometimes they get the look. Amen? Thank God my kids love the Lord and love their parents. That when I give the look back, they smile. Think about it. For the better part of 10 or 12 years, you're able to manage your kids' behavior simply by mandate. Go to bed right now. Eat your dinner. Do your homework. Because our role as a parent is so big in their eyes, as their little children, they depend on us. They really do have to say what we say. No questions asked. They respect them. We're somebody big to them. They're all with us. Our influence can be more about dominance, you forget, when they get older, than relationship. We can default into merely issuing demands. Here, listen now. Rather than mentoring their hearts. When they're teenagers, you can't issue demands anymore. You got to mentor that heart. Brother Raw, he's not here. I think he's in discipleship. James is pretty big. Now, Brother Raw is bigger. Brother Raw could take him down. Easy. But you know what? I'm pretty sure James can hold his own. We can lead by dictating rather than doing. Because when they're young, we can dictate. But when they're old, we have to mentor. Suddenly, their teen years hit like a tidal wave. Bam! Like, wow, what happened? Let me tell you what happened. They got older. And if you do not grow with your children, you're going to be left out. That's why sometimes parents, they get mad at the school. Man, something changed in the school. Nothing changed in the school. Your kid's different now. Your kid thinks now. You know how it is. Elementary school, oh, we love the school. The school is awesome. Junior high, the kids started getting in trouble. What's wrong with that school? What's going on? That's how it is. The little pesky critters now start examining us. Thinking how, examining and looking at how we live. They draw their own conclusions. They study what we watch, listen to what we say, and analyze everything about us. You say, my kids don't do that. You have a teenager, they do. Yeah. They examine how we treat God, how we treat our spouse, our church, and our job. By the way, don't go bad mouth in the church and the preacher. Okay? If you want to mess up your children, just go and talk about how bad the rules are and everything. All you're doing is just kicking the person that's trying to help you. I don't know about you. I want people to help me. I don't want people to, the guy that's helping me, I don't want to kick them down. And parents, if we're not careful, just the slightest thing that we say can cause that. Absolutely. Let me say this. This is kind of a rabbit trail. Please look up here. Don't go home and buck the rules. You know, if you disagree with something, be a mature adult and go speak to that person. There's one time, my wife and I, in the car, there's some teenagers there. My wife's not here, so I could confess some of her sins. And she said, I don't understand this. And she asked me, I said, my wife's a good lady, best wife in the world. I love her. I mean, she's A+. Afterwards, she said, what's that for? I said, honey, if you disagree with something, let's just talk about it personally. I don't want the kids to hear about it. Amen. Now, after she told me, I disagreed with it too. You say, what did I do? I went to go talk to the right people. Hey, well, what in the world is this? Is this some kind of sacred cow? What's going on? But in front of my children, I will not disagree with the rules. You say, why? Because I don't want there to be a wedge. That's right. I don't want there to be a wedge. I want my children to know, Dad's on board with what's going on. Yep. They investigate the kids and find interest in every little detail and behavior of our lives. Man, when they're teenagers, they place us under the microscope and they watch. Is this God thing that my parents talk about? Is it real? Is it real to mom and dad? Should I take this seriously? See, the sad thing is, ladies and gentlemen, if they see our life and it doesn't match up by what we say, they quickly disconnect and develop their own faith. This is not real. See, Isaac knew God was real to Abraham, and Jacob knew God was real to Isaac. Solomon and Absalom knew God was real to David. But they also watched their dad dishonor God in his life. Because of that, they both self-destructed. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, he watched dad play. He watched dad turn from Almighty God to sex and lust. And he put God on the shelf of just another God in his many gods. So what happened to his children? They walked away. Too bad he didn't listen to his own counsel. My son, give me thy heart and let thy eyes observe my way. They observed his way when he was doing right. But unfortunately, parents, let me say this. They observe your ways when you're doing wrong. That's why you need to be consistent. One little compromise in your life, Pastor always says this, can mess you up. Parents, what kind of kid are you? Are you chipping away at the moral authority and influence your child's in your child's life by disregarding your Heavenly Father's authority? If they're watching you disobey your father, you're creating dilemma in the life. Excuse me, you're creating confusion. But let me say this, if your children see you loving and obeying your Heavenly Father, they're very much likely to do the same. Really, it's that simple. Too many parents try to overuse their authoritative control of behavior to their teens. And they make them do stuff. You know what? It's not about just the outward appearance, parents. I like my kids to wear a shirt and tie and a dress and everything. And that's all great, haircuts and whatnot. But you better teach God something inside their life. Those kids, God better be real to them. And parents, you need to display that. So, what are we to do? What are we supposed to do? To simply put it, if you want obedient kids, be one. If you want obedient children, be obedient to your Heavenly Father. Amen. If you want deceptive kids, be one. A disobedient kid, be one. Argumentative kid, be one. You're modeling your you're modeling childhood to your child.
Right.
And if you want to love God and do the best for God, your kids are going to see that. Amen. And they're going to catch up on it. But that's got to be real. Let me give you some assignments to do with your children here. As parents, I think it's on your notes here. Number one, pursue God and love Jesus Christ with all your hearts, parents. See, the word pursue there is a verb. You can't sit and do nothing and expect to pursue God. It's action. To pursue something means to put effort into it, to hunt it down, if you will, to look for delightly and to look for it as a prey, if you will. Pursue God and love Jesus Christ with all your heart. Ephesians 6, 5 through 8, the Bible says, Be servants, be subject to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, as unto Christ, not with eye servant as men pleaser, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Your children know whom you are, and they know if you truly love Jesus Christ, parents.
Right.
It's obvious in your lifestyle. If you love God intensely, they'll know it. If you love God casually, they know it. If you're just a Sunday morning Christian, they'll know it. Your life is your loudest message. Your life is a trusted message. It's the truest message of who you are.
Amen.
If you're if you're authentic with your children and with the Lord, by the way, there's credibility there. If you don't have credibility with your children, you have nothing.
Yep.
Parents can yell and scream and want this and want that. But if you're not displaying your love for God and teaching them the right way, it's not going to happen. Rearing godly children is not an accident. It's by God's grace, and it takes a lot of hard work.
Yes, sir.
Number two, obey your Heavenly Father and let your kids know. Obey your Heavenly Father. And let your kids know. Are you faithful to church? You faithful to church? Are you growing God's word? Do you use the preaching and apply it to your life? Do you talk about God's goodness and godly things? I wonder what you talk to your kids about. I love the Lakers. I love the Dodgers. But sometimes, parents, dad, you need to sit down and talk to your children about spiritual things. Amen. You pray with them? Say, oh, they're just kind of older. I don't know. Ask them, how's your walk with the Lord? Ask them, you've been reading your Bible. Hey, let's read our Bible together, son. Hey, son, I got this from the Word of God today. Hey, honey, I got this from the Word of God today. Amen. Number three, don't get caught up in the appearance trap. Don't get caught up in the appearance trap. Don't play a game spiritually. Too many parents act one way at home, rather unspiritual, and another way at church. Brother. Be real. Man, be real. The game that we're playing, it doesn't work with teenagers. Your teenagers see right through it. Number four, prove your belief in biblical standards. Prove your beliefs in biblical standards. While externals do not produce spirituality, externals do not produce spirituality. But let me say this on the flip side of the coin. Some people might say this, oh, but God just cares about our hearts. By the way, that is 100% true. God only looks at the, yes, that's true. But we got to finish that verse. Man looks out on the outward appearance. While externals do not produce spirituality, a truly spiritual heart will always show externally. A truly spiritual heart will always show externally. Yes. And look, the heart of the matter is the heart. Get your teenagers' hearts. You can hide you can't hide godliness beneath a carnal exterior. Some people, oh, I'm gonna wear a certain tie. I had somebody, a youth pastor, call me and they said, hey, you know these kids? Yes. They look good, but I don't trust them. I said, I know, I don't trust them either. I didn't have to tell that guy that. There's something, some kind of spiritual radar. Like I said, something wrong. They might wear a shirt and tie, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. But you know, you could tell. Number five, decide to be open. Decide to be an open, approachable parent. Decide to be an open, approachable parent. By the way, parents, let me say this. Does the thought of your kids examining your life bother you? How about if they took your phone and looked at your social media page? How about if they took your computer and looked at your history, parents? Would you be ashamed? My wife, my family, they come look at my phone anytime. You know, the iPhone have that thumb thing. My wife knows my code, and one of the thumbs that, there's five thumbs or five fingerprint things there in there, one of them's hers. Take my phone anytime you want. I have no secrets to hide. My kids, as they get older, they want to see dad's stuff. Go ahead. Feel free. Be accountable. If it bothers you, why? Welcome your teenager's examination, parents. Welcome their questions. By the way, if you're going to welcome their questions, be prepared to be astonished at some of the questions they're going to ask, and you got to be prepared to give an answer. Why? Every inconsistency will be exposed. Let me say this, parents. Don't put up the prideful thing and say, my kids have no business. By the way, you shouldn't be buddy-buddies with your kids. But you should be your kid's best friend. And they should love you and they should like you, not just love you, but like you so much they want to hang out with you. And they want to, the person that your children need to share their heart with is not their friends. It should be mom and dad. But if you don't get their heart, and if you don't live right, parents, and be consistent, it's going to be hard for your teenagers. I'm done. When it comes to teen parenting, start with this question. What kind of kid am I? What kind of kid am I? Build your authority upon the solid foundation of being submissive to biblical principles in God's word. Teach your children to obey you because, not because you said so, but like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Show them what it looks like. Hey, kids, I want to display Christ's likeness, not that because I'm something. I want you to follow because I'm following Christ. Right. Model submission before you demand submission. Then expect obedience from your children and hold them to that high standard. Why? Because you are obeying and you are living out God's principles in your life. Yeah. If they see inconsistencies and what you say is not what you do, when you have teenagers, it's going to be rough. I thank God for our church. I thank God so many parents, the majority, 99.9% of our parents, they're on the ball. I love being the youth pastor. Well, you say, why? We have great teenagers. You say, why do we have great teenagers, Brother Charlie? We have awesome parents that love the Lord. And I'm not preaching this to condemn people. I'm preaching this so we can keep the straight and narrow with our family. Let's pray.